good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Just make your way in, have a seat. We'll get started this morning. Just continue to pray for those that are out of town. We're glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings, and our choir will sing for us. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for a beautiful day here in Arizona that you've given us. Thank you for those that we have with us this morning, those who are visiting, those who are visiting for the first time in a while. Lord, we're so grateful that we're all here together. Help us to lift our hearts and voices in song as we prepare to worship and to fellowship with our Savior and with one another. Bless us now. Do what only you can do today in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Really?
you so much for your generosity and your faithfulness of giving unto the Lord and your tithes and offering. Just a quick statement real quick, and then we'll go on with our offering. If for some reason you did not receive your end of the year 2025 giving report, just let me or Miss Michelle know. They've already been sent out, so you should have received them by now. But hey, something happened in the mail, something got held up and you haven't received it, just let us know. We can always just make a copy for you or shoot it through an email through administration. But again, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our tithes and our offering. Brother John Draper, please pray for us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the ministry of this church, for the preaching and the teaching. And Father, also part of our ministry is giving. Father, we pray that you bless this tithe and offering that we and receive it this morning, and bless the giver, we pray in Jesus' name.
So we go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Just please remember, not only pray for our services, but pray for our leadership at the church, families here at the church, those who ministered to our church. And we are so grateful for those who are involved in ministering to one another and to their church family here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we come with grateful hearts, but yet at the same time, we have needs. And Lord, we do just want to begin by praising you for your goodness, praising you as the great provider, the great healer, and Lord, the great Savior that you are. And Father, we pray that you would minister today to those that are here in our auditorium, those who are listening via the internet. Father, that you speak to their hearts, help those that may be hurting, courage, strengthen them. Those that need healing, I pray that you encourage, strengthen, and heal their bodies. But Father, those who are sick with sin, Father, that have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that today would be their day of salvation. I pray, Lord, that no one leaves here today without any harm, any hurt, any concerns, but they'll leave knowing that they're saved, knowing that they're walking with the Lord, knowing that they may not be perfect, but they are striving to do all they can as they serve the Lord here and where you have placed them. Father, I pray that you would be with our men. Help them to be the godly leaders at home. Help them to set that example, guard their heart, their ears, their eyes, Father, protect their tongue, Lord, they would say the things that would be encouraging and uplifting to others. And Father, I pray that you'd help them to set the godly example at home, in their community, at work, and as well here at church. Father, we thank you for our ladies of Harvest and their blessings and joyful attitude of serving you and serving one another. Father, I thank you for the ministries that we have here and those that serve in our nursery, our children's ministry, our security detail, Lord, all the things that take place, those who help set up and clean up and do all the little things behind the scenes that so often may not get noticed by anyone but you. But Lord, we praise you for their heart. for service and their willingness to serve. And we pray your blessings upon them. Father, we pray that your continued blessing in hand on our continued service, Lord, as we'll have a reading our text here in just a few moments, special music and the preaching of the Word of God that will come. We pray your blessings. Be with those who are teaching in children's ministry and those that are working in the nurseries. They minister to boys and girls in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, I pray that you would help me today. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me to portray, Lord, and present in such a way that would be clear from the scriptures of what you've helped me with in my personal study time this morning. And the Father, also, before we close, I want to pray for our country. I pray that, Lord, you would do it again, only that you can do with so much chaos that's going on. And as we pray so often for our police department and those that are first responders and our military, Lord, they need it as much now as they've ever had before with the things that are going on in our world today. And we pray that you would help bring not only peace to parts of the world that's in turmoil, but also some of the turmoil that we face here in our country. Lord, that you would make things right, that you would work in the lives only the way that you can. And now, Father, once again, we ask that you meet with us this morning. And Father, once again, do what only you can do in our midst. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our special music this morning, we'll read our text in 2 John chapter 9, 2 John chapter 9 through 13. I don't think we're going to finish 2 John today, but we'll carry over to next week. I believe over the next week, two more weeks at the most, and then we'll move on over into 3 John. But we'll look at this morning the aspect of going their own way. Going their own way, 2 John and verse 9 through 13. The Bible says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee."
Examine my heart, point out where I
It's a new song that Michelle recently wrote. Wasn't prepared for you to sing that this morning. Dear friends, if the Lord is not home in your heart, you're missing something great in your life. The basic foundation of the Lord being home in your heart is salvation. But as a believer, as he dug in, it at home in your heart, your lifestyle, your testimony, the way we live, the way we talk, the way we present ourselves, is he at home? Does he have free reign in your heart? Now I'm all glassy-eyed. I can't see my notes. Going Their Own Way is the title of the message this morning, and I'm sure that I will need some more time next week, maybe a little more time to finish, but I do want to emphasize again, the song goes fairly well. Did not know she was going to sing that this morning, but so often we want to do things our way, and I've got a little bit of a long introduction today and only one point, and I'll have more points next week, but I think it's important we lay a good foundation for what we'll be talking about over the next couple of weeks. And we, as we prepare to close out the second epistle of John, we find that Apostle John warns us about those who come to your home with another or different gospel or a new truth. And there's one thing about the Lord being at home in your heart, you recognize things that are false right away. When he has free reign in your life, you're spending time with him, you're spending time in the Word, those things jump out at us. Here in John's time, with the many false teachers in his day, John warns and instructs us that anyone who proclaims a doctrine that denies the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, the Son of God, John says there should be no welcome of any kind, or there should not even be a greeting. He said, receive him not into your home. Basically, close and lock the door. Say, preacher, that's kind of rude. Well, I'm just telling you and trying to read from the scripture. You follow along with me. The word receive here, it means to take with the hand. In other words, lead them, take with the hand. To take or appropriate to yourself, to admit or to admit to. See, we should not fellowship invite false teachers into our home or even onto our property. Are you ready again this morning, even though it's a little bit of an introduction for some straight shooting? I hope you are this morning. This would include several cults, religions, faith. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of them this morning, but some of the ones that may be more recognized and a few that are a little less recognized, but nonetheless have a presence in the world and even in our country. We know the group that rejects the Trinity. They have their own book called the Book of Mormon that overrides the Bible, and they believe that Satan and Jesus were brothers. Right there, they have violated 2 John. Are those known as Jehovah's Witnesses or JWs? They deny the divinity of the theology of Christ, the Trinity, and the eternal nature of the soul. The Church of Scientology, they believe there is no eternal heaven or hell, only a conscious cycle of life, death, and rebirth with personal responsibility shaping future experiences. The Unification Church, or what we call the Moonies, those that we used to see hanging around the airport that we don't see as much, they have a highly authoritative leadership. They have mass wedding ceremonies and claim their founder, Mr. Moon, is the Messiah himself. Christian Identity Movement and related groups, and hold on, the Aryan Nation, KKK, and other groups of that nature, viewed as destructive cults for combining white supremacy ideology with distorted biblical truths. Again, John says those who do not recognize Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as part of the Trinity, we are not to receive them into our home or even as friendship. The Nation of Islam, they reject Jesus as divine and has a racialized theology. God is viewed as a mortal, flesh and blood, black man. Islam rejects the Trinity and believe that Muhammad is the final and the most important prophet. So far, everything that goes against Second John here that we've just read. United Pentecostal Church International, or Oneness Pentecostalism, they deny the Trinity and believe in baptism in the name of Jesus only. Christian Science. Let me back up a minute. I had a young preacher contact me a little over a month ago and says, we've had someone who made a profession of faith. We were discipling them. They want to follow the Lord and believers' baptism, but they only want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And my answer to them was, well, is that scriptural? Ask them why. That goes contrary to what we believe. A baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know him as the Messiah, the Son of God. You must therefore make sure that he understands his salvation and what scriptural baptism means. Then we have the Christian Science. They deny the physical reality of Christ's resurrection. Those are just a handful of many more that do not believe in the teaching as Jesus Christ being the Son of God, not a sibling of another Son of God, but the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ child. And the beloved, this warning in verse number 10 tells us clearly, receive them or him not into your house, neither to bid them Godspeed. It is in the present tense here, which means we are to continually to observe this command. John also adds that we are not to bid them Godspeed. And this phrase, or these two words, Godspeed, means to greet them, to rejoice, to be glad, or to encourage them. See, we are not to encourage or entertain those that are spreading a false doctrine or denying Christ. Can we be friendly toward and civil? Yes, we can. But we are not to bid them Godspeed. We're not to acknowledge those things that they believe. So why is John so stern and so specific? Well, here's a few thoughts. Just three thoughts I'll share on this. Again, as we continue with our introduction this morning, please keep in mind, I'm presenting and reading what the Bible has to say. This is not Douglas theology. This is what the Bible says, and we are to practice. I'm afraid we're living in a world today that we've allowed so many things to water down the truth, and we want to be careful that we don't offend. Let me help you with something. The Bible does offend. And often it's called conviction. It's right or wrong. It's black and white. It's very clear. But if we water it down, here's what we do. We tend to take away the power of the gospel and what salvation really means. If we water it down or we change it or add to it. Notice a few things and some things here in reference to why John is so stern. And I believe it even stands today as it was during the time that he wrote. First of all, those who are deceptive can be persuasive and create confusion and doubt. They sincerely believe what they believe. Don't establish a friendship. Bear with me, look out. Don't give folks like this an opportunity. Those who bring deceit. This is maybe a little bit of elaborate, but just hold on to me. Let's compare it. The Bible talks about witchcraft in the book of Samuel in reference to obedience is better than sacrifice, and talks about witchcraft. And some of those errors, some people believe also that refers to drugs and other aspects of being used in witchcraft. And let me ask you today, if you had a known dealer in your community, if you had a known dealer who's pushing drugs to kids and young people and others, would you openly invite him to your home with your kids and grandkids? Or would you be concerned he would try to push or to make a sale? Where do we put a classification on your eternal soul of your children, your grandchildren, your family members? He says, don't allow their deceptive tactics to cause doubt in your life. Number two, John was quite stern and specific. We need to remember, because by inviting cult members into your home, you give them the opportunity to tell your neighbors that you welcome them into your home. So often, when we were traveling in missions, and I would book a meeting with a missionary, and I would ask the pastor that gave me a meeting, hey, do you mind if I mention a sister church in your community that I was able to set up a time and a meeting with you when I talked to them? And often they would say, would say yes. When a missionary calls and wants to book a meeting here with me, here at Harvest Baptist Church, if I know some other like-minded churches that might consider give them a meeting, I let them have their information, say, you're free to use my name, that you have a meeting with us and would like to be with them in their morning service because you're with us in the evening, or vice versa. So when you invite these cults into your home, even though you may have good intentions, you're telling your friends and your neighbors they are worthy of being invited into your home. Your neighbor may do the same thing, but by saying no, you remove their opportunity to proselyte your friends and your neighbors. Very clear. John is maybe stern, but he's telling you for a purpose. And then thirdly, don't give false teachers the impression that what they are teaching is acceptable. Don't give them the impression. Don't agree with them on a point because you may not fully believe the way they believe. Some may ask, well, preacher, what if a false teacher came to you and truly wanted to know more about Jesus and how to be saved? What would you do? Well, I still wouldn't invite them in. I'd step outside the door and close the door. I would get right to the point and tell them about Jesus and firmly rebuke their false teaching that they believe. If I sensed that they wanted to debate or that there was no sincerity about biblical truth that they were asking about, I would end the conversation immediately. Dear friends, you must use discernment. Some of them would just want to lead you into a debate because they want to confuse or to raise doubt. And what did Satan use in the Garden of Eden? He used doubt. He used confusion. A key problem with false teachers is their unwillingness to accept God's truth in the Word of God about Jesus Christ and about salvation. Sound Bible teaching is considered to be old-fashioned and not in touch with modern times. That's what it said. Often it's been said for many years. Modern times, my friend, is what the problem is. Modern times. Because modern progressive teachings compromise with sin instead of taking a stand against it. We live in a time that's changed so much. I remember a time when we went into the stores that poisonous things, you know, the alcohol, the cigarettes, and other things that may be can be a poison was locked up to make sure children couldn't get to it. Now we have anything over $30, $40 locked up because afraid people will shoplift or carry it off and take it away. But it was locked up for protection. And we need to realize today that we need to protect our family. We need to protect our own lives as well of the poison of some people, false cults, and the devil is peddling to pull people in. Shamefully, some churches today have embraced abortion, homosexuality, the transgender DI movement to be more acceptable to the world. I remember reading some time back of a church trying to have an outreach, decided to set up a drive-in communion at their church. All you had to do is drive up to the window and you can be served communion. Boy, talking about a great compromise and not knowing their position of salvation or not and having them partake in something that is designed for those who have been saved and baptized and for the local church. See, by doing this, truth has been replaced with lies. There is a mixture. Some churches have no credibility and have caused great confusion in the minds of people who don't know the Lord. Instead of following Christ, these false teachers have an attitude of going their own way instead of following God. This idea of the word transgresses that we looked at in verse number 9 in our text. Let me read that once again. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. This word here means to overstep, to go beyond, to get ahead, to abandon one's trust, to turn from the right way. John says they have turned to the wrong way. They have overstepped. They've gone beyond. They have abandoned one's trust. They have abandoned the true teachings of the Word of God. This is where I want to pull over a little bit today and, of course, going into next week. Some might call it meddling. I just call it good, solid Bible preaching. I want to deal with the issue of going your own way and not letting the Lord lead your life. AI, and there's so much going on, and this just came to me, Brother Hunt, wherever you are, has just move things in another direction. I read an article the other day that Mr. Musk has talked about how Tesla is going to lead the way in driverless vehicles into the future. They will always be ahead, and they'll have a fleet of it. If you drive into Phoenix, you'll see some of those cars with a little radar thing on the top going its way. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't know if I could do that. One of my daughters was on vacation, not on vacation, but at a business seminar thing going on, and they ordered a car to come up. They went out to get in, they got in, they realized there was no driver. She got out. She says, I'm not ready to trust that yet. But here's what we're doing. If we don't allow Scripture to drive and to guide our life, we're driverless, spiritually speaking. We're allowing Satan to guard and direct and guide our way. We're going forward without the light of the Word of God. It's enough to put my full trust in a vehicle that's computerized, that's, again, AI, artificial, if not real intelligence to drive. I don't know that I'm there yet. But think about who is directing your way in your life. If the Lord is not leading your life, you're not seeking His will and direction. Some folks reason that God's way doesn't work or it takes too long, impatient. Others say that God's way depends too much on sacrificing things. They think their way is easier, less painful, and will work just as well. Wrong. When you do it your own way, when we go our own way, more likely than not, we're going to misstep, we're going to transgress the things of the Lord. These type of folks soon enough find out going their own way because of inconvenience, impatience, or irritation with the Lord is a disaster waiting to happen. To take a slogan, a couple from our fast food restaurants, Harvest Baptist Church doesn't have a sign up there. McDonald's, what does it have? 10 billion hamburgers served? We're not advertising a slogan of billions being served. We don't have the slogan of have it your way at, we know what the rest of it is. No, it's not have it your way. Let's make sure we go God's way. That we don't compromise, that we don't settle, that we don't mix and cause confusion because of the choices that we make are not God's way. Friend, there are consequences of going your own way and taking matters into your own hands. So you can see the consequences of a nation or a church going their own way. We're living in it. I mean, look at the world that we live in today. It's not what it used to be. And Lord willing, we might see a revival, see some things change as the Lord tarries, but He's coming again soon. But until that time, will we continually progress? I know the Bible says the world's going to wax worse and worse, but dear friends, I'm ready to see a semblance, a little bit of a revival in the life before the Lord comes back. There's too many that need to hear and know that they are saved, that they are born again. But what are some of the consequences of going your own way? What are some of the consequences of churches going their own way? I've already mentioned that before about compromising beliefs to bring people in, to compromise to keep from people being offended or hurt. Sometimes it is hard. We all know the aspect of so many things. In fact, I remember as a boy growing up, the old song, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I remember mom giving us a little something to go after the rough medicine or mixing it in some water to dilute it a little bit so it doesn't go down so hard. It's been a long time since I've taken any medicine tasted bad. You can pretty much now get everything in capsule or pill form. You don't have to worry about it. But there's still some hard things to swallow spiritually. It may be hard. It may be rough. But it's good for us. I can hear mama, honey, it's good for you. It'll help you. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, it's good for you, child. It'll help you. Hang with me. Keep reading. Keep studying. Keep taking a stand. It's good for you. But what are some of the consequences? We will look at one today and follow up next week with a few more. But several things take place when we go our own way. Number one, when we go our own way, we lose God's blessings. When we go our own way, we lose God's blessings. You see, when we go our own way, we tend to lose those blessings that God has for us in our lives. And gentlemen, not just for our lives, but our family as well. A couple examples in the Bible. When Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem, known as the House of Bread, to go to Moab, Because of the great famine, they lost the opportunity to be a blessing to the people who remained. They ran from problems only to find bigger problems in Moab. Naomi's family left to flee from famine to only find death in Moab. She lost her husband and two sons in a foreign country. She was not planning on that. Their departure was not an act of faith, but a response of fear and self-preservation that lacked trust in God's provision despite his promises. Later, Naomi, lamenting in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 21, she said, "I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty." Naomi was acknowledging that the absence of divine blessing followed their departure. They went their own way. The move to Moab, intended to escape from famine, became a place of death and grief for her family. Though God ultimately used their suffering to bring about redemption through Ruth and Boaz, the family's initial decision to flee the land meant they forfeited the chance to be a blessing to Israel in a time of spiritual decline. One commentator that I read said the famine was not a sign to leave, but a call to repent. Now, it's easy to think, yeah, but God blessed, God did something. Do you not think God's going to fulfill his command and it's not based on what you do or what you don't do? So often we make a decision to go because we leave out of fear, we leave out of concern, but where's the time of prayer? Where's the time of doing some things? Where's some time of waiting upon the Lord? So often we think of Nehemiah and we think of building the wall. If we're not careful, we think of the aspect and we think of Nehemiah as, well, he built the wall. But if you go back and read in context, he spent much time in prayer first. Much time in prayer before it was discussed or presented. It was an opportunity for national renewal and not escape for Naomi and family. Ultimately, their story shows that leaving in times of hardship may bring temporary relief, but long-term loss of purpose, identity, and opportunity to participate in God's redemptive plan. Going our own way has consequences, and a loss of God's blessings is one of them. What about Israel? They depended upon the ark instead of God to defeat their enemies. And they ended up losing the battle and the ark in 1 Samuel chapter 4. They went their own way. When we go our own way, we end up replacing God's best for our lives in his second and third or fourth best. We lose God's blessings. The book of James chapter 1. In verse number 25, the Bible says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." See, if you want to keep from losing your blessings, obey God and put his word into practice. There's no doubt that we are a blessed people. There's no doubt that God has provided so much in our lives individually as well as collectively as Harvest Baptist Church. But when we go our own way, we lose God's blessings. Can you imagine what our world may look like today? What Maricopa County, what Avondale, Litchfield, Goodyear, Buckeye, the surrounding area would look like had through the years had all of God's people had always went God's way in God's design. It's wonderful to think about as we have been thinking about on our Sunday night study, do you really know what you believe about? It's been about heaven, and we've talked about some of the things about what heaven might be like, using our imagination. Think about people we might would like to talk to and the questions we like to ask. Have you ever thought about what God's best was for your life and where I need to be so that God might provide his best for me and for my family? He wants, again, to keep you from losing your blessings. Dear friends, obey God and put his word into perspective and into practice and first in your life. Go his way, not your own way. Remember, God is not running a Burger King franchise. It's not have it your way, but go his way. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." I won't take the full time to turn there this morning, and In fact, I just thought of it. I don't have it in my scripture, but you don't have to be a prophet or a pastor or just a layman to be full of God. There's no limits. In fact, the Old Testament tells us of a prophet. I mean, he's supposed to be a man of God who is given instruction to go and not to do something and to do something else. Along his way, he ran into someone else who was supposed to be a prophet that told him contrary to what God told him. But instead of staying on track and the mission that God gave him, he listened to this other man of God, this other prophet, and he paid the price for it. Dear friends, don't doubt in darkness what God has showed you in the light. Don't doubt in hard times and difficult times what God has showed you clearly in times of feast. Just because it's famine doesn't mean God's will has changed for your life. Again, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Dear friends, when we go our own way, we lose God's blessings. Dear friends, we have lost too much to continue down this path of have it your own way. We have lost too much to go down this path of the aspect or idea of going our own way. Don't misunderstand. God gives us a lot of choices. First of all, he gave us a choice to receive or reject him. But in receiving him and being a child of God, we should live for Christ and not compromise. And I'm afraid today, as I try to land this thing that's hovering right now, but so many churches today have gone by the wayside. They have tried to figure out ways to change things, to add to their platform, to add to their service, to add to their program, that they might bring people in. Yes, we are to go out and bring them in. We are to witness. But nowhere does it say in Scripture that we should change or water down to Scripture. I don't know how many times I would have liked to talk to people and pastors and some leadership that have made changes and asked them, if you're making these changes, would you show me scripture and verse that you use to move in this direction? Can you show me what portions that you're not wanting to uphold? Because the Bible clearly says to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He's told us very clearly we are to go his way and honor him and not water down or change things to bring people in. What portion of the scripture are we going to tear out? We're going to water down. Are we going to skirt and go around? Another church that I did not mention, I'll just mention their belief and we'll end here. But there is also another group, the emergent church, and others are moving in the direction that they don't even want to talk about the blood of Christ. They will sing no song that talks about the blood. They will read no scriptures that talk about the blood. But dear friends, my Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Another example, because they say, well, it's too bloody. It's warlike. People might be offended. Dear friends, I know people might be offended, but when they're offended with truth, what can we say other than pray for them and said, God said it, not me. God is saying, I'm repeating what God has said, but this is what the scriptures say, and I believe it, and we believe it. So as we close this morning, are you going your own way? Are you finding yourself drifting so much in your own way that you're not content and satisfied and you realize that you're not where you should be in your relationship with God? Let me encourage you to come back. Let me encourage you to make a decision. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry for kind of doing things my own way. I want to go your way. I want to be involved in the way I should be involved. I want to minister to others. I want to be ministered to. Or maybe you have been feeling weary and tired of going God's way and serving the Lord. You feel so tired and weary. Let me remind you, that's your humanity. I'm tired too. I can always tell when it's Friday when I forget the day of the week because I'm exhausted by Friday. That's human. But spiritually speaking, Lord, though I physically be tired, renew my strength. May I mount up as wings of eagles. Lord, may I run and not be weary. May I walk and not faint. Let me continue to serve you. It might be at a slower pace. I'm a little tired, but I'm going to keep moving toward the prize of service for my Savior. Dear friends, if you're going your own way, reel it back in. If you're thinking about what's next, just bring it back in. No matter where the Lord leads you, just serve where you've been planted. Serve where God has placed you. Let's stand together with a word of prayer this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning about the message, about life, about your salvation, about your service for the Lord. The Lord has spoken to your heart about anything you have questions or concerns about the church, about church membership, about baptism. We're having baptism next Sunday morning. But if God has spoken to your heart in any way, if it's just an encouragement to come and Lord say thank you, Lord, whatever it is, if God spoke to your heart, respond and obey the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. And again, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. We ask that you continue to bless and have your way in the services, speak to the hearts of your people. Help us to be obedient, Lord, unto thee. Help us to evaluate, am I doing things my way or am I following Christ as your word teaches? Father, now bless in this time of invitation. Father, I ask again, if there's anyone here today that's not sure about their salvation, may they come and get it settled. May those who need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism take that step of faith. And Lord, those that you've been dealing with about church membership, would you give them perfect peace about what you would have them to do? Now, Father, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Some have begun to come forward to pray. Others may need to. The Lord has spoken to your heart. You respond and you move. You do as the Lord leads you this morning. Scary thing to ask the Lord to have your way, Lord, in my life. But oh, the blessings of serving the Lord. Oh, the blessings of going God's way in our life. Just a quick brief announcement. We'll be dismissed for just a moment. Once again, next week we'll be having a believer's baptism. Miss Susan, the younger, will be baptized this next week. She's going through a discipleship training course. And if you have questions about the church, you'd like to know more about it, about becoming a member of Harvest Baptist Church, you can set up a time. I'd be happy to meet with you. We've offered this offer before. If you've never been discipled and you have an interest of being discipled and mentored and going through a program, we have two different programs. One is a more brief course, it's not real long. One is much more in depth, but it still requires some work and meeting with you as you have questions and need to. The one is a one-on-one. It's a longer course that it takes more time and dedication to make that commitment. But I think every Christian should be willing to be discipled and mentored. They might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have a question about that, would like more information, please do not hesitate to ask so we can match you up with someone to disciple and mentor you in your walk. And if you have any questions about the church, please do not hesitate to call or reach out to me and make an appointment. I'd be happy to talk with you about the church and the ministries here at Harvest Baptist Church. Some may be asking, well, Pastor, why be a member of a church? Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, it is scriptural. They were saved, they were baptized, they were added to the church. And to be a member of a church means church membership has privileges. That means you have a voice in business meetings. You have an opportunity to serve in leadership and officers and teaching. The only exception we make in the era, that would be the choir. We sometimes have snowbirds that come in that have kind of a dual membership or their home church in here that might minister in song or in the choir. But we understand that as they're only here for a temporary time. But if you have an interest in those areas or have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back. Don't forget our choir. Again, thank you for your dedication and practice at 4:15, our evening service tonight, and we'll continue. Do you really know what you believe about heaven tonight? And we look forward to that, the time of the discussion at times and teaching as well. I'm going to make my way to the back, and Brother Daryl Leonard, would you please lift your voice and...